WEFT What Jail Is Like. That was Daryl. They've got an EP out called Communication Breakdown, and that was Bottle Rock. Daryl's from Texas, but they've been known to appear in the area.
Yeah, I'll just say, Devoted to Hugs toured with them, and we rode around the country for a while with them, and phenomenal group of guys, good music. Funny, they have a guy named Spammy. Their drummer's name is Spammy, I'm not kidding. That's it. You ask what his name is, it's Spammy. I didn't ask to see his license, because he's much bigger than I am. But they're just a bunch of great kids from Dallas, Texas.
They got a website you can check out if you're looking for more information, www.darylmusic.com. That's D-A-R-Y-L. And if you don't know how to spell music, that's not my problem.
Exactly, but there's no K.
Right.
I'll give you that much of a hint.
Musique.
Music!
It's not musique concrete. So there's that. A little bit after 11 o'clock on WEFT, 90.1 FM. Legal idea.
It's entirely.
See it? Buy it a drink. It's okay.
It is.
This idea is mature.
You can take it home. You can freak nasty on a futon all night long.
This ID says it's 18, and it's not lying.
No,
it's not. A couple of segments right about now that we're going to deal with. We've got an advice question that we felt was important enough to deal with on the air. A lot of calls we get, they're not very good. We don't like them a lot. They're very minor problems. You know, I got a hangnail. You know, right. I've got a knife lodged in my shoulder.
My mother shot me.
Yes. You know, this is all stuff that we could deal with, but we've got other things to do, like scratch our legs.
Right. Exactly. And it's better if you figure those things out for yourself, man.
Yeah. It'll make you stronger.
It is, because it didn't kill you.
No, it didn't.
Although that which kills you probably hurts a lot.
Right.
That which does not kill you.
So I lodged a book up my nose. Boy, was I strong. So the problem we're going to deal with right about now on the advice segment, and I don't want to... Well, I guess we should give it kind of a merge title, because we want to do some movie reviews right after this, because there's been a lot of movies reviewed since then. So we got to come up with some sort of weird merged
I got it.
Okay, take
you
it
ready?
Away.
Free advice is better than no advice, so shut your damn ungrateful mouth and you might get some movie reviews out of the deal.
Who's? Because we have to echo. Roos! Kangaroo! Okay. Problem comes to us from Kurt. Kurt lives in Champaign, I believe. And Kurt had a semi-formal high school reunion this weekend. Problem was, Kurt slept through most of it.
Wait, did he have to dress up semi-formal?
Well, that's how we described it. So I don't know if you...
Or was it only... partially formal?
Only the cool kids got to go.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an official thing. I'm not sure. For whatever reason, Kurt was invited, which, you know, kind of, you know, the cool kid story would work then. But he slept through most of it.
Was he there? And he slept through. Well, Kurt, I think what you suffer from is narcolepsy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're there. Jane Goodbody from PE, seventh period, your junior year. You had such a crush on her. She's talking to you. She's digging she's digging your vibe. She's asking if you got a futon. Next thing you know, boom, you're out. Cold in the bean dip.
That's tough. So what is the next step, though? I mean, you know, if he wants to, does he just resign himself off on the high school reunion?
No. What you want to do is when the quasi-formal reunion rolls around, which should be in a couple of weeks, if all things are going according to plan.
Right.
Building up to the proto-formal reunion.
You've got the quasi-modo formal somewhere in between. But that, you just want to skip that one.
Yeah.
Ow. You know.
The anti-modal formal.
Yeah.
Is definitely one you want to attend, though. But at the next one, at the what was it? What is the pseudo formal next? Oh, I've got my
proto formal.
No, that's later on.
You got quasi formal.
Maybe it's quasi formal. Yeah, quasi. It was the quasi formals coming up in a couple weeks. You want to go, and you want to talk about how cool it is to just fall asleep in the middle of things. You know, and see if you can get a couple of the weaker-willed people, the people that, you know, would do what everybody did in high school to, like, pretend to fall asleep, you know? And next thing you know, everybody will be claiming to, you know, fall asleep in the middle of sentences and stuff. And you'll be the ultimate and cool.
Well, that's not bad. Well, in case you don't want to wait around, you know, there's a few things you can do. Hit the town square. I don't know exactly where the town square is in Champaign or Banner, but go to the town square. Post a note there to everyone apologizing for it, you know, demanding a redo. a do-over for the high school reunion.
Hit the reset button, as it were.
Hit the reset button angrily a few times. Take the reunion out, blow on it, and then put it back in.
And if that doesn't work, take it out, and then just run your tongue just along the edges of the connectors, because the water, the saliva acts as a conductor. You really should be able to play the reunion again at that point.
If there's a lot of time in between the reunions, that means a lot of time to type up letters and send them to all your classmates. Or alternatively, that means a lot of time to collect magazines, cut out letters from those magazines, paste them to letters, and send them to your classmates.
Right, and also a lot of time to sleep, so that maybe you will not fall asleep while talking to Jane Goodbody.
That also means a
Holly Hooters.
Number four, Susie Sweetheart.
Number three, Lucy Love a Lot.
let's see. Number two, Betty, I Want to Lay You Right Now.
And number one, Francine on a Futon.
I don't think there's anything lame about that one.
Yeah, actually, if I meant, hello, I am Francine on a Futon. What did you say? Francine Anna Futon. Is that three names? Francine Anna Futon? Anna! Are you German? And tangent one. I said Jane Goodbody.
Yeah, what happens?
Sorry. I don't know. It's just because, Kurt, I don't know who you had a crush on in high school. As, you know, for instance, Anna Pakwalovitz. There, is that better?
You know, if you want to call us and let us know who you had a crush on in high school, we'll hit the reset button on this entire bit right here. Just do it over with the correct name and serve. You probably don't want that. I doubt you do it.
Because she's probably listening.
Yeah.
Because nobody leaves Champaign-Urbana.
Right.
No one leaves! Toot!
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would counsel patience because, you know, even if the next reunion is going to, you know, is going to take a little while, nobody leaves Champaign-Urbana. Our feet are all glued to the ground. We've got these shoes that are part of that are like on a track, and we can move back and forth like we're little soccer players in one of those tabletop games. Right. But
we've all been made to swallow the little explosive global positioning system device. Mm-hmm. And should we stray from between the yellow lines, it will blow up our abdomen and our chest cavity.
So don't fear. Your classmates are not going to leave the perimeter of Champaign-Urbana.
Right.
I hear there's a tunnel being worked on.
Yeah, and if you can, there's one guy actually has a machine that will magnetically pull the, you can use it to pull the thing out from
it hurts,
colon
though.
And then out through your nose.
It hurts.
It hurts a lot.
Oh. That's what it hurts like.
When Mark did it. I've never seen him cry, but he cried like a little baby.
I cried like a little baby. But fortunately, the camera cut away, or else my fans would think me a wuss. So, hope that gives you some direction, Kurt. If you got a late advice call, you can always give us a call at 359-9338. But let's deal with some movies right now.
Okay.
We're in the middle of summer. Summer is the big season for movies.
Yeah.
And they just keep on releasing them nonstop, incessantly.
Really?
Movies continue to come
out. With not an eye to their quality or their content, really.
Right. Okay, we've got 90 minutes. Fling it. You know,
exactly.
Let's see what sticks.
Like, by the beginning of July, you're right. They're just like, they're going to every director and going, give us everything you've got. Don't worry, we've got an avid editor and a monkey.
Okay, we've got a lunch I had with Clooney. Release it!
Yes, we'll call it my lunch with Clooney.
Yes, we'll put piano music behind it and give it existential overtones.
Right, we've got more footage of Tom Green's testicular cancer. Right, let's make a movie. I'm sorry, audio footnote. Never been a big fan of Tom Green. I mean, he's fairly funny and everything. But mad props to that guy. That guy, taking his own battle with death and turning it into a joke. You know what? Even though I don't like all the comedy he actually produces, his heart's in the right place. That man knows, you know, that man just takes what he knows and makes it funny, or tries to make it funny at least. So that last Tom Green reference should not be viewed in any way as desultory or disrespectful. So, but I have both my testicles, so. And he doesn't. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. It's okay that Walter Matthau didn't turn this Battle with Death into a comedy for all of us. It's all right. I mean, he did his part. You know, he didn't owe us anything more. So I don't want that to be construed as a criticism of Walter Matthau. And audio footnote. Audio footnote. What does this do to the Dennis the Menace series? And audio footnote. Anyway. So movie reviews.
Movie reviews.
Yes. The Perfect Storm came out this week.
Yes.
Big special effects extravaganza. Boat on the water. Splash. Splish splash. Taking a bath.
Clooney. Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Cheadle's in there, maybe.
Is he?
I don't know.
I didn't hear of him.
I'm guessing wildly at this point. But I know Wahlberg and Clooney are in there. And, but really.
I hear Goodbody's in there.
She is.
She's great, too.
Yes. But really a breakout performance by The Boat.
The Boat is good.
The Storm,
mm-hmm.
really overrated. I felt that The Storm's performance was akin to that of Nicolas Cage in Gone in 60 Seconds. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, really phoned it in, wooden, mm-hmm. over the top. Ooh, look at me. Ooh, I can make a 400-foot tidal wave. Ooh, you know, like, you know. Well, I want to see some depth. I want to see some emotion, you know?
A movie like this, in its very title, challenges what we know about the world around us. And it's making certain criticisms of nature, implying that all other storms that we have seen are not perfect. And there are a lot of adjustments that they made to the storm that I didn't think were necessarily perfect. You don't need to fling carrots at somebody during a storm to make it perfect.
No, you know?
That doesn't add anything.
No, it doesn't.
It might poke your eye out. That hurts. That doesn't make the storm
right.
better.
Right, and it's not... There's no verisimilitude.
No.
Yeah, there's none of that.
I mean, granted, it helped that the storm had a sense of Aristotelian unity and that it began and ended in the same place.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, that was a plus, but, you know, so that's not everything as far as storms go.
And you don't need to throw, you know, soft cover copies of James Joyce's The Dead mm-hmm. at people.
No.
During a storm.
That's not perfection as far as storms go.
No.
I mean, storms, it's okay if it's just water. You know, that's fine. There's a lot of innovation to be explored within the realm of water.
Right. We, you know, there's water has not been played out.
I mean, let's say, you could try some big drops and small drops, like alternating, you know? Like,
yeah,
here comes a big drop. Okay, pretty soon it's going to be a small drop, you know?
Right. And you can always, you know, why not take it to new, we've got all this CG technology. Why not make just one huge drop? You know, an entire rainstorm is one drop.
One big drop. Woo, that was a drop. That was a rough rainstorm. It's over now. I mean, I can kind of see why they didn't do that for a 90-minute movie.
Can you imagine the suspense?
Yeah.
Is that drop hung off the branch of a very tall tree?
Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
I mean, and it can be done in real time, but it's so big that you can't get out from under the drop in 90 minutes.
Yeah, and like, there's all kind of, like the human interest angle is like, this cat is up the tree, you know? Yeah. And like the firemen, do they save the cat and risk knocking the drop off?
And the cat could be played by Clooney.
Yes, that would be perfect. Can we get him?
We probably can.
Okay, let's work on it.
All right.
Yes.
So The Perfect Storm.
That was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it wasn't, you know, not the best possible storm.
No, it was definitely a fair to midland storm.
But let's face it, it was the perfect Clooney. Because, I mean, in that situation, Rosemary Clooney is not what you're looking for.
No, you don't want to...
Clooney was the ideal Clooney.
And it was the perfect Wahlberg.
Yes.
Donnie Wahlberg, you don't want to...
You don't want to see the other Wahlbergs.
No, you don't. And,
They got a drunk uncle who might have been
And
funny.
It was the perfect Lane. Because Diane Lane is, mm-hmm. you know, perfect as the female love interest lead. Nathan Lane?
No.
Although phenomenally talented, not what you're looking for in a sexy female lead.
Not the perfect Lane environment. So yeah, there was perfection there. I don't think it was where they thought the perfection was, you know. But I mean, that's Hollywood for you. It'll surprise you. You know, the magic comes when you're least expecting it.
Right, exactly. So overall, go see mm-hmm. The Perfect Storm. It was interesting.
It's better than stabbing yourself.
It is better than stabbing yourself.
Yes.
Vaguely.
Well, yeah.
Not vaguely stabbing yourself, it's vaguely better.
Another movie that came out this weekend that's on the tip of everyone's tongues is the Mel Gibson star, The Patriot.
Right. Really gutsy, ballsy move by Mel Gibson to play a missile.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be fired about for an entire movie out of large, you know, missile racks.
This is, of course, the return filmmaking by Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich, the team behind 1998's Godzilla.
Which, if I check the ticker...
Yeah. Oh, yes, 1998's Godzilla still sucks.
Horribly.
Yes. And this is their return to filmmaking. They decided, you know, they were going to earn back everyone's love by making a big, sweeping, patriotic drama. The problem comes, of course, when you're very far into a career, and also you're facing a lot of pressure, so you tend to recycle some of your old ideas, I think. This happens, and I think that's something that happened.
Right, I mean, the giant lizard.
Well, and I mean, let's face it, when the British blow up the White House,
yeah,
you know, with a laser from the sky, that's not exactly what happened during the Revolutionary War.
Not.
You know, there were some differences there.
Right, right.
And I think that's a little questionable.
And Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum was not back there during the Revolutionary War.
And he, you know...
The British were not defeated by a virus in their tea. That's not how it happened.
No, it wasn't. And Harvey Fierstein as George Washington... No,
that's kind of not what George Washington looked like.
No, not at all.
Well, Harvey Fierstein was adorable in that powdered wig.
He really is adorable. He's got a very cute little mole.
Yes. And, I mean, you know, the major problem I had, of course, is, you know, the Godzilla lizard is Thomas Jefferson. Because, I mean, that's one of the founders of our country. That man wrote the Declaration of Independence.
I mean, Godzilla,
you know, props, of course. And they may have felt that their Godzilla design was underappreciated, but you can't just throw him in there as Thomas Jefferson. Especially not when Nick Nolte is out there and has experience in the part.
Right. So, wasn't too keen on the Patriot.
Yeah,
although Gibson's turn as a missile is...
Well, it's a daring turn, and you kind of limit yourself when you cause, you know, such a charismatic star, he has to just lay face down on the ground for a lot of the time. And he's really not allowed to do anything except blow up towards the end. You know, so you got a lot of dramatic tension there. When's he going to blow up?
But the climactic scene where, Gibson is a Patriot and a consummate evil character... action character Alan Rickman is as the Scud.
Yes,
are hurtling at each other, and you don't know if Gibson's going to get there in time before, you know. But of course, Rickman's faulty wiring causes him to miss the target completely, and then smack into Gibson.
A lot of good ideas. Of course, very dynamic visually, because a lot of money went into this picture. But it's the recycling that's a problem for me.
I agree with you on this.
Ben Franklin, you know, it turns... The big revelation, of course, is that Ben Franklin was actually a guy. We knew that. You know, that's not surprised,
really,
but they really build up to it.
But what I don't like is how it ended with a shot of Ben Franklin's estate and a big egg.
Yes.
And then it cracked open and a little baby Ben Franklin stuck its head out.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be scary, but it really turned out to just be kind of lame.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Ben Franklin again. He's doing the egg trick. And, of course, something of note is that it was written by the writer behind Saving Private Ryan.
Which we all know is
the
best film made a couple of years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Audio footnote. Occasionally our real feelings about movies come out. Saving Private Ryan. And audio footnote.
Didn't find a part for Tom Hanks in The Patriot, which is a damn shame.
Well, the Christ Child was in an earlier draft.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, if you look for him, you know, I think when the DVD comes out, this is going to be great because, you know, you see on the wall, you know, the good patriotic Christian Americans have Tom Hanks crucifixes towards the back, you know.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you'll be able to freeze frame and see that, but it goes by a little fast in the actual
movie. Yeah, it
really
does. They didn't have a whole lot for him to do.
Yeah.
All right, also out this week, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes, the new live-action adaptation mixes both cartoon and live-action.
Right. Rocky's got to lose that moose.
You think so?
He's really holding him back. He's holding him back. Rocky's got real charisma.
You think
real
so?
It's kind of like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, but more so. In that, you know, Bullwinkle's just this big, oafish moose. Rocky's, you know, he's got that innocent boyish, you know, the boyish good looks and charm.
Right.
You're really rooting for him, but the moose...
Well, you got to wonder if the moose is kind of getting distracted with his side products, you know, like leaving tracks everywhere. You know,
right.
He's got the moose tracks industry going on, you know, that's a big thing. And you got to wonder if the attention is necessary, attention is being paid to the movie.
Well, I mean, you know, back in the day when their television show got canceled and their album stopped selling and Rocky and Bullwinkle decided to break up, Bullwinkle really hasn't touched the entertainment business since then. His mother developed Whiteout. And he's just been pretty much riding high on those fumes, if you will, no pun intended. And Rocky's really been plugging away, trying to keep, you know, his
really building steady for some impressive, daring roles. You know, some things that didn't get a lot of attention.
Right. Playing an alcoholic, the alcoholic father in Affliction was great.
Yes, that's, you know, gets you right there.
And who can forget his, I mean, the only bright spot in Saving Private Ryan is, you know, Rocky the Squirrel as Private Ryan. You know, he, of course, trimmed the hair up a little bit. And who knew that underneath all that fur, he really does look like Matt Damon. He's got that look, you know? But he's really got to lose the moose. I was really... There was moments of emotional depth there in Rocky's performance that were just blatantly stepped on by the moose. He just blunders through his scenes, you know? Whereas... there's a real restrained emotionality going on with Rocky's performances.
Some of the other supporting cast I have problems with, like this Robert De Niro guy.
Who told him
he could act?
Who the hell is that guy?
What's he doing there, you know?
Who, you know...
Don't we have a bag of sand that we could just drop there?
You know, I vaguely remember hearing the name before with some other films in conjunction, but nothing that really stands out in my mind. Something about a bike messenger or like a cab driver or something. But, I mean, nothing that really, you know, that I've ever heard anything good about. And let me tell you, this is one of those guys, you know, he seems to have started a little late in his career because he seems rather older. He should just stop. Go back to, you know, the sausage packing, whatever he was doing before he before he decided to, you know, get in front of the footlights, as it were. So.
Some dreams just don't pan out.
Yeah. Of course, Rene Russo.
Is everybody's hot mom.
Older than my mom. Older than my mom, and dear Lord, would I have an Oedipus complex. Yes. Thank you. Rene Russo.
Yes. Keep working for years, Renee.
You can't make her look bad.
Renee and Rocky together. I mean, you know, you just take that from a starring.
And again, ballsy move by Rene Russo. Those are some steamy love scenes with the squirrel. You know.
Well, it's not easy to play a love scene with an animated, you know, character,
right? Especially because he can violate the laws of physics, and that can get.
But in all of the most delightful ways,
right? Yeah. You know. And, I mean, I couldn't really tell. It seemed that the frame of the futon was real, but that the mattress was animated. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I was left out kind of in the cold on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Okay. What else we have? Chicken Run. Chicken Run came out.
Can we just go straight and say that it's phenomenal?
I guess we could.
Did you see it yet? I mean,
no, I haven't had a chance to see it.
In real life, you haven't?
I mean, you know, I'm a huge Nick Park fan, but...
Yeah, I thought it was great. I loved it. Really, you know, it's a kid's movie, but there's definitely a lot, there's, you know, it's got that level where there's stuff for, you know, the adult. But it's a wonderful little film that I wish they'd make everybody at Disney sit down and watch it, you know, just like, here, you mooks, you know, mook, what a great word. Tangent number two, great. Completely nonsensical word to use for morons.
Number five, dingbat.
That's a good one. Number four, Schlotsky.
we're gonna be in tough straits here. Number three, Peckerhead.
Oh, number two, noodle eater. I don't know what that means, but
number one, U.S. Secretary of Commerce.
Oh, and tangent two. Yeah. I really think that your they have to say that with the inflection, like a question, for it to really work, though.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever used the word in context, so yeah. It's kind of tough, you know? It's your lips trying out certain syllables that haven't really been combined.
Right. Well, it's a good one. Good. Yeah, Chicken Run, I liked it a lot. Thought it was great. Really, I mean, I could go in and do some real film analysis, but there are other shows on Wef that do that, so.
Yeah. Well, they do film analysis. You know, they do things that are real. WEFT 90.1 FM. Let's move off to a song right about now.
Take it.
Yeah. Song we're going to hear is from band Ultimate Fakebook.
This band just got signed, I believe, to Epic/Sony Records or whatever. But they really deserve it. Good group of guys.
The phone number is 359-9338. If you care to give us a call for any reason, we'd like you to. We could go either way, though.
Yeah, but if you want to bring us milkshakes, we definitely are down with that.
113 North Market Street in Champaign, right around the corner from the Amtrak station. We love you, so why don't you love us? That would make us feel very good.
We'll give you a kiss on the cheek.
I'm a human. And I will feel really good. I will smile. And that doesn't happen a lot because I lead a cold, dark existence.
He really does. You should see him.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
he lives in a freezer with no light.
I bear a lot of people's burdens out there. And I do it for cash, actually. It's $10 an hour. It's a good gig, bearing other people's burdens. 359-9338 is the phone number. Otherwise, stay tuned because we got public service announcements coming up next.